This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. If you can't hear me, you can raise your hand. If you can't see me, it's no loss to you. I'm going to sit down. Nice to be here. I'm Father Mike Cassell. I was rector of this parish for 14 happy years. Successful years of much fun for me, and I think for the parish we had a good time. It's great to be back. It's a wonderful parish, it always has been, and I come back, as you probably know, on behalf of Food for the Poor, a ministry that has been very close to the heart of this parish for many years. Father Jim Stelzenberger started the connection years ago, and I inherited it with gusto, and Father Marty has carried it on. So many of you know a lot about Food for the Poor. I never realized 11 years ago when I retired that I was going to spend these active years serving in this capacity, and I have over the years each Sunday now gone out and spoken to literally hundreds and hundreds of Episcopal parishes and thousands of communicants of the Episcopal Church, and it's been for me a joy going from Seattle to Key West and from Bangor, Maine to San Diego and all points in between. It's great to be here. Really is. I'm really here to make Father Marty look good, because next week you're going to say, "Oh, Father Marty, we're so glad you're back. That old fool didn't know when to shut up." But here I am, and I'll do my best. I don't know how many of you remember the late, great George Carlin. He was a favorite of mine. He had a way of putting things you never forgot. You can Google him if you will, I'm sure. And he does a shtick called stuff. Maybe some of you have heard it. It's wonderful. He says, "I'm all about stuff. All the stuff I have, I earn myself. It's my stuff, not your stuff. It's mine to keep. It's not for you. I don't share it. It's my stuff. I won't give it to you in any case, because it's my stuff. And when I travel, I take as much stuff with me as I can, because I'm all about stuff. But I always leave some stuff home, too, so when I get home, there'll be plenty of stuff there. Now, I'm more important than you are, because I have, frankly, more stuff than you have stuff. And when I die, I want you to know you can't have any stuff even then, because I'm going to take it with me. It's my stuff, and I may need it in the future. You never know." This is, of course, a telling commentary, not only upon you and me, but on the whole world, in a way. I always, you know, double take when I think, this is true in our own country, and probably we have no monopoly on this, but we certainly do it well. Did you know that 2% of the people of this country control 98% of all the money? Did you know that? It's a fact. You got to think about that and reflect on the implications of it, because it's my stuff. Now, China has this problem, India has this problem, Europe has this problem, people are into stuff. I thought to myself, how different from the words of our Lord. Our Lord didn't say, "It is blessed to have the most stuff." That's not what he said. Guess what he said? He said, "We are called to give it away. It is more blessed," get this one, "to give than to receive." Oh my goodness. That's not what we're told. That's not what the world says matters. That's not what we are led to think. We're led to think about our stuff and about how we can be measured by it. Our Lord takes the value system of the world and he turns it inside out. If you want to know what Jesus thinks, turn what the world tells you is important inside out, and you'll get a clue to what Christian thinking is all about. Our Lord makes it very clear. It's even tough for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Why? Because he's got too much stuff. Our Lord says it's easier, see, for a guy with a camel than it is for somebody with too much stuff. The head of Food for the Poor said this, and I've always remembered it. He said that the goal of Food for the Poor is to take the incredible affluence of the first world and to share it with the desperate poverty of the third world. That's what we're all about. That's what life is all about. That's what the Christian faith is all about. You cannot get any closer to the heart of Christ than what I've just said. It's about giving away in the name of Jesus to make this world a place suitable for human habitation, where we have truly eliminated poverty, thirst, nakedness, and all the disastrous dysfunction of the third world in which we live at the present time. We complain about 9.1% unemployment. Oh, it's terrible. In Haiti, they have 95% unemployment. See, you only know things by comparison. I was at a St. Gabriel's church 2 weeks ago. It's a Caribbean parish in Brooklyn, New York. It's a poor parish, but they are very, very generous with food for the poor. They build a couple houses every year for us. But they're not a rich parish. And they put me in the rectory with another priest there, an assistant, and I was given the room in the back of the rectory, which was fine. And I got there, and I suddenly discovered, although the temperature outside was about 98 degrees, it's hotter in Brooklyn than it is here, I want to tell you. Although the temperature was about 98 degrees Fahrenheit, there was no air conditioning, and the windows, except for one, were painted shut. So I was lying there in misery, feeling rather nasty toward just about everybody. And then it suddenly hit me that this is the way the people I serve all live every single night. They are in that same situation, but night in, night out, month in, month out, year in, year out. There's no AC in the Caribbean where I go. So we have a major problem in our world. You know, I love the New York Times, and I got a copy of it. I want to share with you the third page of the New York Times a couple nights ago, or a couple mornings ago. It really caught my attention. On the one hand are pictures of starving people in Somalia, mothers who cannot produce milk for their children, children who are dying in the streets in these pictures. Misery follows as Somalis flee hunger, it says. And then I want to read you the ads on the outside of this. I want to read these to you. These are interesting. They'll tell you all you got to know. Emeralds, rubies, $3,000 a piece. We can get them for you right in this newspaper. You can email them or write them. Here's another one, Saks Fifth Avenue shoes. Here they are. They'll make you taller, tall as I am. They're $1,400 for shoes. I don't know whether that's for one shoe or two shoes. But it is $1,400 for a pair of shoes while the Somalis are starving in the streets. We got more. Here's a Chanel pocketbook. This is lovely. $2,800 for it. It looks like it was decorated by somebody decorating their house at Christmas. I've never seen anything like it. Here's another one, Gucci. Oh, Gucci. This is a pocketbook here. This is a $2,000 pocketbook. If you don't have one, I know where you can get it. They have Longines watches for $5,000. If you'd like one, they're really good. You see, we have a problem. There are people out there, many people out there, who can afford all these things, every one of them. They don't advertise this stuff for nothing. They advertise it because we have thousands of people who can afford it all. They sell these things like hotcakes right now in this war-torn country that we're in. Food for the poor, like I say, exists to share the affluence of the first world with the destitution of the third world. That's why I'm here this morning. And I try to tell this message as far and wide as I can, not because you've never heard it, but to try to quicken our awareness. Now, I just got back from Haiti, the basket case of the Caribbean. I just got back a couple weeks ago with a bunch of speakers. We go down there regularly. I've been down there several times in the past year. We tour all the facilities there. The first place we went this year was the prisons. The prisons. What an odd place to go, prisons. Why odd? Our Lord says, I was in prison and you came to me. That's of course where you would start. That's where Jesus would be, obviously. So he went to the prisons. Now, some people say there is no hell. I say the hell there is. And I say that because I've been to hell many times in the Caribbean, many, many times. Hell eternally could be no worse than what I'm going to tell you about. We went into one facility, one prison, and the prison cells, their cages really, are 12 by 10. And they put in each cage 78 men. And the way they do it is by removing certain numbers of them for an hour every day, and they stand in the courtyard, and then they go back in, and another group comes out, and they keep 78 men in this 10 by 12 enclosure. They can't all stand at the same time. Many of them have to lie on a cot because there's not enough room there. There's no plumbing, so they have for these 78 men buckets for them. That's it. There's no plumbing. You're kidding, surely. There's no electricity. There are no fans. There's no air conditioning. The stillness is overwhelming when you stand there. And there's a little cage door about this big, and three men at a time stick their faces at the cage window because they want to see who's coming by, and it was us who came by. And as we came by, they take their fist and they thrust it out like this at you in your face as you go by, not to be mean, but to say to you, in effect, I am me. I am here. Touch me. And so you are to take your fist and touch their fist to remind them that they are alive. As I stood there, and this is the honest to God truth, I would not make up something like this. I was standing there, and I felt some movement on my ankle, my foot. And I looked down at my foot, and there was a hole in the concrete, and under the concrete, a hand came out just like this, a palm, the palm hand of a prisoner, like that, at ground level. And I looked and I said, there is the hand of Jesus Christ. That is the hand that was pierced on the cross. That is the hand that blesses. And Christ is saying, help me! That's what he's saying with that open palm for me and for you and for all God's people. He's saying, hear me, I need you. See, the face of Jesus is seen throughout the Caribbean. Sharon and I were in Italy not that long ago, and we're in Turin. And they have the Shroud of Turin there. Maybe some of you have gone. And it is a cloth purported to have been the cloth that Veronica had put on the face of Jesus when he went on the Via Dolorosa. And that's probably not historical. I don't care if it is or it isn't. It really doesn't matter. It does emphasize the fact that people all want to see the face of Christ. And I've seen the face of Christ in the Caribbean again and again. And I've given you one example. Let me give you another one. Father Bob Libby is a very dear friend of mine. Some of you may know him. He's been a priest in this diocese many years. Father Bob is a speaker at Food for the Poor. I room with him very often. We enjoy each other. He snores, but I like him anyway. Father Bob was so excited. He had just gotten a new pair of Adidas track sneakers. They were white, and they would be wonderful for walking over the dirt roads of Haiti. They would be stable in all that rocky soil. So he was very proud of them, and he put them on, and we flew from Port-au-Prince to a place called Cap-Haitien to a little village called Shada, which is the most God-forsaken place I have ever been in all my life. I've never seen anything like it. The poverty is incredible. It makes Port-au-Prince seem like some fabulous place, Malibu Beach. There's no plumbing anywhere, and the little children, utterly naked, come down to the water's edge and defecate right in front of you by the dozens as people are fishing for catfish in the same water. Because there's nothing else. There's no other food. There's nothing. That's it, babe. That's the whole thing. I was standing next to Father Bob, and you won't believe this. I would not make this up. Father Bob looked down, and so did I, and here was a little 6-year-old girl. She had taken off her flip-flops. You know what flip-flops are, with the thong in the middle there that holds it on your big toe. It never works for me, but that's what they're supposed to do. She had taken off those thongs and had slid them under Father Bob's feet so they would not be dirtied by the fecal matter, and then had a rag that she had found God knows where and was wiping his feet. Does that make you think of a story in the New Testament? Does that ring any bell at all? Could you ever go to Maundy Thursday Mass and not see Christ having his feet wiped by a little six-year-old girl? Because it's wiped again and again in our world. We went to a village that Food for the Poor had built. By the way, we build houses all over the Caribbean. We've built almost 80,000 houses now in the Caribbean. 80,000. And I want to tell you, if you build a house, and my wife and I, Sharon, build houses one after the other, and I say that not in all to brag, but to witness to the fact, and hopefully challenge some to consider doing the same, because we don't have an oil well any more than you do. They're $3,200 a piece, and you have 18 months to pay it, and it can be broken down in any way you want, but that's one way to do it. But the moral of the story is, those houses had been built, and we built a whole village in this area, and we went out to see the village. So when we got there, the whole village was present. They knew we were coming. They had decorations everywhere, and they had a 28-piece band that was playing, because we give out band instruments all over the Caribbean. They're $3,500 a piece for all the band instruments. So we give them out all over. In the prisons, we give them out. And by the way, in the prisons, we build infirmaries and we build all-purpose rooms. And when we were in the scene that I had described for you a moment ago, the head of Food for the Poor is a very no-nonsense guy with a lot of power, said, put in electricity through this place. And he said, put in fans in all these rooms. And so it was. That's the way it worked. And we buy the prisoners, by the way. I wanted to tell you that. We buy them at $100 a pop. You can buy one. And many of them are in prison because they've stolen bread for their families and a whole host of other nonsense. Well, we were in this village, which we had just built, one of many. And here was another scene from the New Testament. As we were getting off our vehicle, all the village came out, cheering us with palm fronds, and they were waving the palm fronds as we came, and then they had that group of band instrumentalists playing and leading our procession into the community, which, thanks to people like you, we had just built. Is that not Palm Sunday, or is it? Am I missing something? I mean, it is over and over. And again, I could go on and on, but I'm going to stop. There's so many illustrations, I wouldn't know where to commence or where to, stop. But I do want to put those stories out to you. I want you to realize we fund and support 3,600 orphans in the Caribbean. We've planted over 1 million mango trees in Jamaica and Haiti. We're building, as we sit here, 5 huge schools in Port-au-Prince, which had been destroyed in the earthquake. The damage in Haiti has been horrendous. We don't hear half of it. The man that led us, a joyful, wonderful man, had lost his mother and father and 5 brothers and sisters in the earthquake in one event when a building fell on them. He had to remove the concrete, dig a hole, and drag all 7 of his family and buried them himself. But he went on. He went on with joy and with commitment and with a belief that the world could be better, and he wouldn't give up. Never, 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 never give up. Never, never. There are 3 ways you can help us, and there's a little brochure there inside your Sunday enclosure. It tells you what your dollars will do, and I'll just rattle them off pretty quickly. Most of you know. $21 will feed 420 children. $21. I spent that much in Duffy's restaurant a couple of nights ago with a buddy of mine. Nothing to it. Charge it. That's it. I'm an American. I'm not wealthy, but I'm an American. I charged it. I'll probably go to Duffy's again. $36 feeds 3 families for a month. Can you believe it? 3 families. Do you hear that? For $36. 32 $100 for 18 months builds a house, and they're beautiful. They have bathrooms now, which we never put in before. They have two bedrooms. They have a living room. They have a porch. They're gorgeous. And you get two of them for the price of one in Nicaragua and in Honduras, because those two nations are matching us house for house. So when we build a house, they build a house. So we build twins now. We use one wall and share it with the two. Three ways you can give: with a check, food for the poor, cash. But in the envelope, this is an envelope. You can tear it in half. Here it is. There's a pink line down through the center. I won't tear it, but you just tear it. Half of it's an envelope. You can put cash in there, seal it, and hand it to me at the door. I ask any gifts to be given to me at the door, not on the alms basin. And please don't give me loose cash, because I'll lose it. I will. So put it in the envelope, seal it, and give us your name and address. We will thank you. It becomes a tax deduction. Makes sense to do it that way. Or, of course, you can use a credit card, which is the way my wife and I do it. Simplest way. And it's not rocket science. You just fill it in as it tells you here. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lie across the floor in the back of the church. And when you go out, if you want to give anything to me, you hand it to me as you're stepping over me in the back of the church. That's the way you do it. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Oh, sweet Jesus, that's the second poorest amen I ever heard. Now we're going to do it one more time. I want you to beat the 8 o'clock or 7:45 or whatever it is now. I want you to sound like you're really awake and really with it. Everybody said,
amen.
It's a lot better. We got a way to go, but we'll keep working on it. God bless you all. Thanks for putting up with me. It's great.